Yeah, before we begin, let me just pray. Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word this morning. Thank you that you reign. As we kind of think about this passage and think about what it means that you are king and reigning and what it means to live under your rule, may you open up the eyes of our hearts that we will see the reality of your rule and the reality of the passage, the truth of the passage is speaking about, Lord. For the glory of your name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So last week we heard Mike speak about a message emphasizing the importance of obeying King Jesus. It is true that Christians have been saved and forgiven by Jesus by sacrifice on the cross, which is a completely free gift to anyone who turns to him. Our obedience, our good works does not save us. Our good and righteous acts do not get us into heaven. But as Christians, once we have turned to Christ as Savior and Lord, our King has given us a code of conduct to live by. We are not to follow what everyone else is doing or believing. We're not to even follow our own hearts. And we're not to follow our favorite celebrity. For we are to follow a divine King who died and rose to life for us. We are called to live as a people who have been saved by Jesus, who speak truth and avoid evil in a world filled with people who have rejected his rule, which makes living as a citizen of heaven in a foreign land very difficult. And sometimes it feels impossible, does it not? We stick out. We believe things that others find very strange. We say no to things that others affirm and promote. And this can be tough because we like to be liked. We don't like to stand out from the crowd, and we must constantly resist things that pressure us to compromise and reflect the standards of the world. So where do we find strength to follow this King in this world and experience the fullness of life he offers? In our passage this morning, which is a written prayer rooted in the reign of Christ, we are told of two things that can help us live faithfully as a family under a divine King who reigns. So firstly, knowing that Christ reigns over the world and the church. That's what we're told in our passage. Christ reigns over the world and the church. At times, it can be easy to look around the world and see the instability, see the disorder, and feel insecure, feel worried about the future of this world. It can then be easy as a Christian to retreat into a safe bubble where we stay within our comfort zone, play it safe and not fulfill our calling as Christians to go out and share the good news of Jesus. What is going to give us the courage and boldness to live faithfully as a follower of a King? Knowing who is truly ruling. Knowing who is truly ruling. Between verses 20 and 23, we are told that Jesus reigns over the world and over his church. So firstly, over the world. After Jesus rose from the dead, where did he go? Now for this, I need a volunteer. I didn't ask anyone at the beginning of the service. So I need a volunteer to represent Jesus for us. Who would like to represent Jesus and wear a crown and wear a robe? Moses. The robe is going to be very big, so it's going to cover you completely. So come and sit down. There's a chair here for you. Okay, I'm just going to get the robe and put it on Moses. You ready? Put your arms in the air in here. Put arms through here to the arm section. Oh, there isn't any arms. Sorry. There is no arms. It's just a robe with no arms. Oh, there's a whole forearms. Thank you so much, Emma. So we're told, oh, here's the crown for you as well. Thank you very much, King Jesus. We are told that when Jesus rose from the dead, he sat down at his Father's right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him head over everything. So there we are, there's a globe of the world, and your feet is on it, because Jesus, God placed everything under Jesus' feet. Now, head means authority and conscious, active rule over everything, over all of history, over all human beings, over all demonic powers and darkness, over all diseases and disabilities, all nature and freak weather conditions like hurricanes and floods and volcanoes and earthquakes, over all business and industry, all media and healthcare and sports and internet, over all governments, prime ministers, all military powers, over all kings and presidents and queens, over all religions and ideas, universities, solar system, stars, galaxies, molecules, atoms, and millions of things that no one has yet discovered. The first sphere of his reign is the entire world and the entire known creation. Jesus is now head over them all. And even though it may not look like it, he is reigning and ruling over everything. Everything is working and serving his good and holy plans and purposes, which means nothing is out of his control, is out of control. Everything that is happening has a purpose, even though it may look like it's out of control. Which means every single person, whether they believe in God or not, is under Christ's reign in this sense. It is a part of being a creature of God. No one can escape it, no one can hide from it, and no one can be outside of it. And it is a reign that will last forever. Secondly, Christ is over the church. Okay. We do have a church here that the kids made with our help.
I did not.
Here it is.
He made it.
Mommy and I made it with your help.
No,
oh, thanks. Thanks, Adrian. You built the foundation and we helped add to it. We are told in our passage that Jesus is head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And there is another sphere or realm of this world that Christ is intimately sharing his rule and reign with. They are people who embody his reign by following this king and are building his kingdom here on this world where Christ rules with them. They are the ones who live on this earth as God intended human beings to live, to rule in a way that reflects his values, reflects his standards, and reflect his glorious character. This is a new humanity, because we are told elsewhere in the Bible that it is impossible to see or even enter this kingdom unless you and I are born again with the very life of God in us. Not everyone is in this kingdom. Not everyone has this life. Some are in and some are out. Where this life comes, where this rule reigns and comes, there is salvation, there's forgiveness of sins, there is grace, there is eternal life, and there is friendship with God. It is these group of people called the church who are striving to live out Christ's reign on earth and are waiting for his return when his kingdom will be fully realized on this earth. This kingdom, this reign, has dawned with the coming of Christ's first coming. It is here on the one hand, and on the other hand, not fully here as we know it. And when we pray, you all know the prayer so familiar, so well. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is being done without being challenged in heaven, and we want it seen being done on earth without being challenged in our hearts and in other people's hearts on earth. And every time we gather as a church, as we are this morning, we get a taste of this wonderful kingdom here on earth. And those who obey the king are reigning with him in a world where his reign is being challenged and contested and rejected. But there is a time that is coming when all the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God and King forever. And Jesus is the perfect and benevolent King who reigns and rules in such a way as to always seek the good over those he reigns. He is committed to serving you, his people. The church is where we should experience his loving rule and see people change for the better to become more like Jesus, who seek to serve others above themselves and to speak truth wherever they can. So Jesus reigns over the world where Moses is seated and the globe is under his feet, and the church where Adrian is holding the church building, which symbolizes the people of God gathered together. Jesus reigns over the world and the church with resurrection power. And we are told this because it is this resurrection power that empowers a Christian to live and rule with Christ, which is our second point. Adrian, you can put it down now if you want. I mean, your arms must be hurting. So, thank you. Yeah, squeeze it here. You happy to sit there, Moses? You can go as well if you want.
Walk amongst your people.
Yeah, good job. Give Moses and Adrian a round of applause. Good job. I do have magnet tiles. If the children want to build a church, they can use this to build the church over here. And then you can show us afterwards what you've done. So Jesus, so as we continue, the author of this letter prays this prayer because we do not feel or sense or see the powerful King who is reigning. We do not sense or feel this resurrection power in our lives. Why? We're told in verse 18, we are naturally dull and blind to spiritual realities. We need the eyes of our hearts to be enlightened, to be illuminated. We don't grasp the reality of Christ's powerful reign and resurrection. We don't grasp the power of darkness and evil currently in the world that is coming at us all the time. We don't grasp the power of our corrupted nature, the Bible calls sin, in us. Instead, we feel okay. We feel healthy. We feel like we can do things ourselves. We feel like our hearts know best. So the author prays for our spiritual eyes to be opened so that we may know the hope which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, this knowing, this power, is not just an intellectual in our head knowing. It is not just head knowledge. It is an experiential knowing. To personally experience the power and the presence of Christ the King, to know his love poured out into our hearts, to know his friendship and his presence every moment of every waking hour. It is this very kingly resurrection power and presence in our lives that gives you and I the chance to truly change our hearts and give us the resources we need to live under his reign here in this challenging world. Do you know this power? Do you know the presence of a king in your life? Because Christ is reigning over the world and over the church, we are able to live as citizens in a foreign land, awaiting our true home, and live and die to the glory of God. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for giving us the power, the resurrection power in Jesus. We thank you so much, Lord, that we can access that because of what you've done on the cross for us. And we ask you, Lord, to help us live in light of that power. In Jesus' name, amen.